There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archived for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Our guest is David Hatcher Childress, prolific author. Of course, the force behind Adventures Unlimited Press. We're talking about ancient artifacts or more ancient artifacts. And you were talking, by the way, and it's getting to be a long answer, but 9,000 BC. How far back can we trace any of these artifacts?
Well, I think that going back around 10,000 BC is a pretty good date to go for. They don't tend to date stone structures much older than that. There are some buildings that were found in Poland, and they were made out of mammoth tusks and mammoth bones. And they do date those structures to like 20,000 or even 30,000 BC. Allegedly, they're the oldest structures that are known. The whole idea of how old humans are, how long humans have been making buildings and building roads and bridges and boats and port cities and things and going places, it's a controversial subject. And basically, again, with as you described me earlier as a diffusionist, the two main schools of anthropology are isolationism versus diffusionism. And isolationists are really the ones in charge of our universities and educational system, in a sense, right now. And they tend to argue that ancient man was isolated. He didn't really go places. Oceans are barriers, not highways. People just can't get into boats and cross oceans and go places. They have to walk everywhere. And even this whole out of Africa theory is only that. They find ancient bones and things in Africa, and that's all fine. And then they say, well, then everybody just had to, you know, got up and walked out of Africa and went everywhere. But a lot of that is assuming that the whole world looks exactly like it does today, and that the continents look like they are, the oceans are where they are. What is underwater today is underwater then, and what's dry land today was dry land then. Geologists would normally tell you that that's completely wrong. And 10,000 years ago, ocean levels were 300 feet lower than they are today. And that would make areas in, like, just the Central Pacific or Central Indian Ocean or the Central Atlantic. It would turn small island groups into mini continents and things like that. It's quite possible that ancient man came from some area that's underwater right now, in the Pacific Ocean or in the Atlantic or off Africa or anywhere. I mean, we don't really know what it was like 50,000 years ago, but we can pretty much guess that it wasn't like it was today. Climates were different. There were giant animals running around then. The whole end of the Miocene with woolly rhinos and woolly mammoths and huge herds of them. Yeah, and they were all wiped out. And I mean, there's things that we just can't even wrap our heads around. At the end of the last ice age, there were huge ice sheets right around Chicago. They call it the Wisconsin Glacial Shield. Yet, at that same time that there were huge glaciers around Chicago, there were giant herds of woolly mammoths and woolly rhinos and giant elk running around in Siberia and Alaska. And there wasn't glaciers up there. I mean, it doesn't even make sense. Geologists can't really explain it. How is it that the North Pole doesn't have all this ice, but around Chicago there is ice? How does that make sense? And then all of these animals were wiped out in a huge tidal wave. most of the ivory that was used in the late 1800s and early 1900s for piano keys and billiard balls and all that didn't come from African elephants. It came from piles of ivory in Siberia and Alaska, where tidal waves, some kind of huge earth cataclysm, had just wiped out these giant herds of animals who were running around in northern Alaska where there was no ice and had some different temperature, and destroyed them all. And even today, people, they find giant piles of huge mammoth tusks and things. So trying to figure out all this stuff, who man is and how old he was, we have to bring it back, in my mind, to 20, 30, 50, 100,000 years in the past. And people who looked just like us, who were taller and had bigger brains, were running around. I mean, they had all the capabilities that we have of intelligence and adventure and inventiveness, of using tools, and in fact, they were actually stronger and bigger than we are. Yet, according to anthropologists, these guys didn't do anything. I mean, for 100,000 years, they sat in their caves and ate their woolly mammoth kebabs and stuff.
Oh, but mammoth stew, that's very good. I understand mammoth stew is really better, especially if you put it on a wok. I guess there were no woks then. Now, seriously speaking here, the thing I always wonder when we try to interpret what happened thousands of years ago, we can't even agree what happened yesterday. You ask five different talking heads on cable news, and you ask them to explain what happened yesterday, and they can't get it right. They have five different versions of the story. So how are we going to know what happened 10,000 years ago?
Yeah, sure. Exactly. And it's all interpretation. Everything, you know, history is his story. It's not her story. It's not their story. It's his story. It's my story. And history is written by the winners of wars, not by the losers of wars. And so much of archaeology is just interpretation. You have to start with some kind of basic foundation and idea. And unfortunately, archaeologists often start with entirely the wrong concept right at the very beginning. And that concept is that ancient people didn't do anything. They didn't go anywhere. They didn't have any tools. They had very little knowledge of what they were doing. And yet, they went to remote islands like Namadol. The island is called Pompeii, actually. And they just, for no real good reason, just stacked up 250 million tons of basalt into 100 artificial islands and huge walls 30 feet high with basalt boulders that are 40 or 50 tons in them. And there's not a good explanation for it and how it would even be done. And then in all of these sites, there's the why and the how. Why would you go to, and again, you're supposedly some primitive person with a, you know, carrying your spear and your bow and arrow or something with you. And then you just suddenly decide, oh, I'm going to build this giant building and structure, and I'll take giant blocks of granite or basalt or whatever, and I'll haul them here and cut them up and articulate them in all these fancy ways, and then I'll make these giant pyramids and huge walls and things like that. And then people are standing there. I mean, even today, modern tourists are just looking at it with wonder, going like, wow, how did they do that?
David, I want to ask you more about this in our next segment. And that is, you know, the common theory here that you take a bunch of primitive people and you say, let's build this structure. It's going to take maybe 100 years. That's okay. We'll go through several generations of people, each one dedicated to the task of building the structure perfectly. It doesn't happen in 1 year. It's not 10 years. It's 100 years, maybe. And I just wonder the logic about that. How do you discipline people to do that over successive generations? It doesn't make sense to me. David Hatcher Childress is here. trying to make sense of all these archaeological mysteries. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw of free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, "It's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel." Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here is what one doctor has to say about Extendovite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on your product and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens and dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them, and what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. The yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect, and most of the other herbs in there I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. It's close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut, it's working on the liver, it's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news at theparacast.com. That's news at theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
With Gene and Chris in the Paracast, we'll remind you again to go to plus.theparacast.com. Pay a visit to plus.theparacast.com. That's plus.theparacast.com. Check out the Paracast Plus, where we offer higher quality audio version of the show with 41 minutes of network ads removed. so it goes through everything faster, fewer interruptions, and also the After the Paracast podcast that you can't get any other way for a modest monthly fee, plus .theparacast.com, plus .theparacast.com. Okay, David Hatcher Childress, the question I asked was about how they can possibly be expected to engage in these projects that span generations, all the discipline involved, and if they're trying to just survive, how could they get these people to do such things?
Yeah, my point is why would they do it? I mean, in many cases, you're looking at something that would seem to be very difficult. Even with heavy machinery and cranes and all the construction equipment that we have today, many of these structures, especially the ones in Egypt, see the Great Pyramid and stuff, I mean, they are daunting construction tasks. And you have to wonder, why would they even try and do this? And here's the part that archaeologists don't really ever ask themselves. Why would they do something which would seem to be done in the most difficult way? They don't have to do things in that way. Building, again, out of bricks would and smaller stones would seem, that's how we would do it today. We pour also liquid stone and concrete. That is a smart way to go. But it would seem that these ancient people are doing things not just in a kind of large scope, like you're saying, over 100 years and all the discipline of the workers and stuff, but they're doing it in a way that they don't have to. And it would seem like they're doing it in a very, very hard way, moving, supposedly, with brute force, huge, huge stones. They don't have to do that. Why aren't they cutting these stones into much more smaller and manageable pieces to work with? That's what we would do today, but they didn't do that in ancient times. And my point is that it would seem to be that what they were doing wasn't so difficult. We see it as so hard. I mean, they're dragging these 1,000-ton blocks around. Man, how could they even do it?
Well, what are you suggesting? That there's some form of lost technology that was being utilized?
Exactly. That's right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They had to have, in my mind, some kind of levitation, some anti-gravity. It's not these thousands of people hauling some giant block, you know, with all their ropes and stuff. Which is how we imagine it. It's got to be somehow it was not so hard for them. It wasn't 1,000 people dragging these blocks around. It was more like half a dozen of them with certain high-tech devices, whether it's some kind of sound technique that makes blocks of stone weightless. I mean, I don't know exactly, although I've always been interested in that. And Adventures Unlimited, we do publish books on anti-gravity and Tesla technology, special death rays, levitation techniques, UFO propulsion, all that kind of stuff. To me, there's totally something to that. NASA has published papers on acoustic levitation of sound. There is supposedly film footage taken in the early 40s by a Swedish aircraft engineer who was in Tibet, and he supposedly, in a book he wrote, which was never in English, but is known to people, and then I did discuss it in some of my books. He claimed Tibetan monks using horns and drums levitating blocks of stone up on top of a cliff to the building of a monastery.
You're kind of hedging your bets there, my friend, when you say supposedly and everything. What's your opinion?
Well, I think it is real. When I say, yeah, the question is that he supposedly took like 16-millimeter movie film of this, and he writes about it in his book, which was published in Sweden. But that movie film has never been released. And so in that way, if the story's true, then it's suppressed. So here we have suppressed footage that shows monks levitating and doing things that we would think are impossible. And things like that are something that I'm and that's maybe a whole another discussion, but the whole thing of archaeological suppression, evidence that of certain amazing things that allegedly is there, like the Smithsonian suppressing things. I was shown a film in Holland that was taken in the early 50s, and it's a Dutch guy who had appeared in and had been in like Ripley's Believe It or Not. He's not well known, and I had never heard of him before. The film I was shown, and it was about a half hour film that was silent. It was taken in Switzerland in the early 50s. But this guy, and he's a thin, he was a Dutch guy who claimed he had all these yogic secrets and stuff. It's in a laboratory setting, and he's standing there, without a shirt and just his pants on. And then these people in Switzerland, they run him through with swords, and his swords are put through his chest and his stomach. Completely through several of them. And I mean, it's astonishing to watch. And he does not bleed. He does not, he's in no pain or anything. He stands there. They remove the swords from him and, he's not bleeding. Although you can see where the sword went in and out. And I mean, it's a modern medical miracle. I mean, you can't believe it when you're watching this. And I've seen it a couple of times. And in our Dutch affiliate in Amsterdam, sells a book about this guy. And you can get a video of this too. So what I'm saying is, yeah, I've seen this movie, and I don't talk about it much, but it's mind blowing. I mean, you can't believe it's real. And yet it has to be. I mean, either it's this elaborate fake from the early 50s or it's a real thing and no one can explain it. Now, they're not levitating any stones or anything like this in the movie, but this guy is doing things that would seem to be completely impossible. The movie does exist, yet it's not being shown on National Geographic. Most people will probably never ever see this movie, yet, you know, it's real, and hundreds of thousands of people have watched it in Holland, I can tell you.
And let's go into more details and a lot more mysteries to ponder in ancient times. We have David Hatcher Childress, and of course his company is Adventures Unlimited Press, and of course Chris has written books for them, a lot of our other guests have. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
The nation's largest independently owned and operated talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Attention listeners, SurvivalLife.com is giving away free EverStrike permanent matches for a limited time only. These matches are waterproof and will light in any weather condition, rain, snow, or sleet. It will still throw a spark. Its built-in ferro rod strikes at 3,000 degrees, and it is good for 15,000 strikes. Normally, $15. Today, it's free. Get yours at FreeWaterproofMatch.com. Again, that's FreeWaterproofMatch.com. Hurry, supplies are limited. Visit FreeWaterproofMatch.com today.
It's no secret that government and big business buy in bulk and get huge discounts not available to the little guy. until now. Introducing a breakthrough crowd buying website where people can join together, buy in bulk, and get massive discounts on millions of popular products. It's TogetherSave.com. TogetherSave.com. You can save 20, 30, or even 50% off tablets, smartphones, cars, appliances, textbooks, sports equipment, video games, and much more. All with free delivery. Check it out. TogetherSave.com. Visit now and start group buying today at TogetherSave.com.
The freeze-dry guy, leader in the preparedness industry for 44 years, is closing his California warehouse. Don't miss out on this huge warehouse sale and receive discounts from 30 to 40% off on the finest Mountain House and Packaway brand freeze-dried and dehydrated foods for long-term food storage or even everyday use. Plus deep discounts on all in-stock survival gear. The freeze-dry guy is offering a wide selection of freeze-dried foods in number 10 cans and even individually packaged entrees. Remember, meats, vegetables, fruits, and long-range patrol rations are the main components for any long-term food storage. This is limited to stock on hand, so hurry and call 866-404-3663 or 530-798-4414. Remember, as always, free shipping to the lower 48 states. So hurry up and call 866-404-3663 or 530-798-4414. Remember, this is limited to stock on hand. The freeze-dry guy is your choice for survival food in an uncertain world.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hi, my name is Richard Dolan. You're listening to the Paracast.
With Gene and Chris, we have the second half of our episode with David Hatcher Childress, exploring ancient mysteries, the meaning of those ancient mysteries, and how they might reflect what we know now. And is it possible that maybe ancient aliens weren't here, but an advanced civilization on Earth that for some reason was destroyed in some worldwide catastrophe? So let's look at that. Maybe there's an Atlantis, a Lemuria, some advanced civilization existing thousands and thousands of years ago, David. What would have happened? Would they have simply gone into space and left us alone? Did something here, a change of climate conditions, cause them to leave or destroy their civilization? What?
Well, I think there's been a number of civilizations here on Earth, and they're destroyed through wars or natural cataclysms, calamities. That's the story of Atlantis, that it was destroyed in some, although there are two different versions of Atlantis that did destroy themselves through some war or whatever, and or that they were destroyed in some cataclysm of the Earth. And that's part of the whole archaeological enigma is the geological convulsions that occur occasionally. And we've published a number of books along those lines about pole shifts, cataclysms of the Earth. Of course, coming up to 2012, there was all these stories of some kind of pole shift and cataclysm that somehow the Mayans knew about and had decided to end their calendar with some big giant cataclysm disaster, which didn't come. And that's fine. But the evidence is there that every few thousand years, every 10,000 years or whatever, the Earth goes through big hiccups. You have what's called allegedly a pole shift, where the thin crust of the Earth actually moves on the inner core, and areas that are the North Pole or the South Pole slide as much as 180 degrees maybe, and that even areas that were the pole were are now like at the equator.
Right, and that would explain, for instance, the instantaneous die-offs of megafauna, mastodons found with plant matter in their mouths, like they were literally flash frozen in an instant.
Right, exactly, and that's why there would be glaciers in Illinois and Wisconsin, but not glaciers up in Baffin Island or Alaska at that time, because the North Pole was in a different place.
Can geologists determine the exact, at least the location of the magnetic poles at any particular given time in history? I think there's been supposedly, 65 or 66 demonstrated examples of a magnetic pole shift. But what you're talking about is crustal displacement.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, crustal. Yeah, and that,
can't you determine that scientifically? And if so, why doesn't you know?
Well, you know, I mean, again, it's like what we're talking about with the experts, and the experts can't agree on things. And a lot of times, the experts aren't really the experts anyway. They're out of their field. Today we have so much talk of global warming, and we're responsible for some kind of slow warming of the Earth, and sea levels are going to rise and things like that. And that's all fine. And I think it's hard to dispute that factories and mankind are having some effect on weather, and that the Earth is warming a little bit.
You'd be surprised.
But it doesn't.
There's quite a few people in our forums that this has been one of the most contentious debates that we've ever had.
And look, there's a lot of stuff to global warming and climate change that are never mentioned, and that's kind of my point. Is that, well, so-called experts are talking about how we're causing ocean levels to rise and we're causing this global warming, yet. There were, you know, global warming and cooling and weather change and climate change. It's been going on for 100,000 years, and it is severe. Droughts come and go. Huge. They think the Mayans were wiped out because of a extended drought that occurred. There were times in just like 1,000 years ago when the ice above Canada was minimal, and allegedly Vikings and other people could make that northern passage very easily. But now there's a lot of ice that appears. But so what caused all that? I mean, is mankind the cause of all climatic change? Certainly not. I mean, it couldn't be. And in fact, climate change is, you know, it's severe in the past. And to ascribe it all to mankind is crazy. And so that's what I'm, you know, while we might say that, yeah, there, over time, there is some man-made climate change and global warming, but on the larger scheme of things, it can't be, it's nothing compared to what Mother Nature does and the kind of climate change that Mother Nature is able to create, whether it's an El Nino thing or, I mean, we can't explain why there is so much ice in Antarctica and why it melts sometimes.
Yeah.
One of the books
the Earth obviously has some sort of internal thermostat, which heats up when it needs to and cools off when it needs to. I mean, that would
be right. And look, all it takes is a few volcanoes in Indonesia and the Philippines or anywhere to go off, and we'll have global cooling on a huge scale. I mean, we won't have to worry about global warming at all. They called 1816, I think, was called the year without a summer, and it was because these volcanoes in the Philippines had gone off. And that year, the whole Earth cooled, and in North America, they hardly even had a summer that year. And, you know, it has nothing to do with mankind or global warming. And so my real point is that you're going to sit there and watch TV, and they're going to show you all this evidence, and these experts will come on and tell you this and tell you that, and it's what they don't tell you, maybe, that really matters. Like, oh, well, you know, the Earth goes through warming and cooling periods all the time, and there's nothing we can do about it. They don't tell you that part. So it's all selective, what we do. And this goes to everything, in archaeology, to pole shifts. I mean, they've got experts to explain anything. And from conspiracy angle, whether it's the JFK assassination or some other political assassination or even something like 9/11 or whatever, and buildings like Building 7 at 9 and that was never hit by an airplane, but it also collapsed. They have to explain all that somehow, and they do. They get experts, and sometimes they'll just take years to do it, but they'll eventually release on paper, and they'll say, yeah, this is how it happened. And popular science and all the news guys will jump on it. They'll say, yeah, now they've explained this, we have an answer, and everything's, you know, case closed kind of thing. Well,
you're opening up a big can of worms with World Trade Center number 7 there, Mr.
Well, Childress. Right. Well, all that kind of stuff. And I'm not trying to drum on any kind of a necessary conspiracy bandwagon either way. But my point is that people can explain anything. And well, some, we're talking about cataclysmic pole shifts and things like that. But yeah, there'll be some geologists who will say, yeah, we, you know, there's something to all that. But they'll get their other experts who say, oh, no, that never happens. And Earth, here's what most geologists want to tell you, and it's what insurance companies would probably rather you believe, and that is that changes in the Earth and the climate and geological changes, painfully slow. It doesn't happen rapidly with giant earthquakes and tsunamis washing over continents. That's not what happens. No, Earth changes are slow and occasionally a volcano goes off.
Kind and gentle change.
Yeah, you know, and we don't have to really worry about it. And in fact, what we really have to worry about is over hundreds of years, the ocean levels are going to rise and some little atolls are going to, you know, be underwater or something like that.
Let's have a kind and gentle break. David Hatcher Childress is here with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Minds think alike. The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
As the New World Order continues to tighten its grip on every facet of our lives, we're all asking ourselves, how can we maintain our independence? The answer is clear. Get prepared and you get prepared now. Now the only question left is, where do we begin? My Patriot Supply is here to help. Call 800-247-3070 to get started with your 72-hour emergency food supply for only $10. We're even covering the cost of shipping. Are you willing to rely on the government and FEMA in the event of an emergency? Call 800-274-3070 to get started with your 72-hour emergency food supply for only $10. You won't be able to find this deal online, and there is a strict limit of 4 per caller, so don't wait. Call now, 800-274-3070. That's 800-274-3070. Call right now.
Ouch! My back is out again!
Hi, Dr. Ortman with Wellspring Spinal Care. If you're experiencing neck, mid, or lower back pain, this information is for you. One of the complaints that I hear is patients receive their typical adjustment, only having to repeat them as the pain returns. Putting the bones back in place is only half of the battle. At Wellspring Spinal Care, we have the entire solution. We use the NUCA approach, utilizing three-dimensional x-rays and gentle touch technology to deliver specific correction. We then design design a custom nutritional supplement program which provides essential nutrients targeting the areas of concern. With a NUCA approach and proper nutrition, you'll be on your way to a faster and more permanent recovery. To get you on the road to wellness, visit drortman.com. That's drortman.com. Or call us today, 952-303-9124. That's 952-303-9124. Wellspring Spinal Care, chiropractic done right.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We have David Hatcher Childress here this week talking about ancient mysteries, climate change, which of course is very contentious, as you can see, and I don't know if we can pursue that much further. Chris, there were a lot of questions in our forums, and maybe we should get to some of them. But I want to ask you one thing which is also contentious, and that is there occasionally get criticisms on some of those books that maybe the editing could be tighter, the grammar and spelling. So what do you have to say about that?
Well, I'm sure they could be. Yeah, when I read other books, you know, I notice grammar and spelling and typos and things. So, you know, I always think that, you know, you could improve on probably just about anything you do, in my mind.
No matter what you do with as a book publisher, errors are going to get in there.
Yeah, I think so. And I read all kinds of books from mainstream publishers and books that, you know, have been, you know, heavily edited and editors have been paid a lot of money to edit them, and then you still see mistakes and typos in them. Because I'm a publisher, I notice them and pick them out. And it's always a little satisfying when you see some, you know, Simon & Schuster book that's got typos or something in it. So, but those guys, you know, major publishers, and it's more and more difficult to be a publisher these days, I think. Major publishers are going under. They're difficult to make money. Bookstores are fewer and far between. And paying editors and other people to, you know, take 2 years to bring a book out. Books will always be around for sure, and they'll be bestsellers and blockbusters and major publishers. But the whole publishing industry is changing, and more we're seeing really self-published books and e-books and things like that. I think there's actually, like magazines too, there's actually more magazines and things. And it's, to me, it's great. Everybody can suddenly be a publisher, whether 20 years ago, it was, you couldn't really publish your own book or something like that very easily and get it out there. But today you can, and in my mind, that's a good thing.
But do you think in general, with the disappearance of so many print versions of magazines, for example, that maybe to some degree print is dead? Or is it always true we need printed books, even Captain Kirk in the movie Star Trek II: Wrath of Khan? He's given a copy of a book from the 19th century as a birthday present by Dr. McCoy. And you think, how quaint. They don't have books in the 23rd century, but they're still treasured.
Well, right. And, I think that the print books will always be people's, and I know I'm one of them. I buy my books as I want an actual printed copy. And don't really like carrying around a Kindle or a little pad.
I'll get a Kindle one. when I can hear the page turn and a little scent mechanism shoots out a little puff of newsprint.
Yeah, I like to put little post-it notes on pages, too, so it's hard to do that on your computer. So.
I would like to get to some of our questions, David. Of course, you are controversial, having been for now quite a number of years being one of the most visible people on the Ancient Aliens program. There's a number of questions about Ancient Aliens. And one of them comes from our listener, Chris Johnson, who's been a forum member now for a couple of years. He doesn't post very often, but you brought him out of the lurking closet here. And he's wondering what your favorite episodes of Ancient Aliens are and why. And if you had to recommend one episode of the series to a skeptic to make the case for Ancient Aliens, which one would it be?
Well, I suppose my two favorite episodes are really the one where they go to Pumapunku, Tiwanaku in Bolivia, and I'm in that episode. And also another one where they go to Karnak in France, and I'm in that episode too. Both those episodes are pretty good, I think, and good for skeptics to look at, because you can really see in both those, I mean, you're seeing the giant stone structures. At Pumapunku and Tiwanaku, the stones are very well articulated and cut. And, of course, in the episode, we're speculating that they're using power tools and even that they're using, like, CAD programs to create these H blocks and things like that. And that's all, you know, I mean, in that episode and the Karnak episode too, what you see is what you get. I mean, you're standing there, you're looking at the things, and of course we're talking about it and showing the anomalies. And in the case of Karnak, we have all these giant stones, rows of them. And with Karnak, mainstream archaeologists, I mean, they have no explanation. And we talk about it in that episode. They have no explanation at all. They can't explain it. They don't know why anyone would have done this. They don't know what it's for. They don't know who did it. I mean, there's literally thousands of Menhirs, blocks of stone that are, I mean, yeah, they're weighing 100 tons, even 200 tons. And why they would have done this, put it up, I mean, they've gone through a lot of effort, but even the mainstream archaeologists, when I was there, I was talking to the French archaeologist of the site, and it was a woman, and I asked her what their explanation was. Anyway, just right before we started filming the episode, and she said, well, we have none. We cannot explain it. So, anyway, to me, those are both good episodes, and what skeptics really, and to me there's nothing wrong with being a skeptic, what the skeptics do need, to focus on when they see some of these episodes, is it's just to simply realize that archaeologists don't actually have the answers for these things. Some things are just utterly a mystery, of the who, the how, the what, then the when of doing things. And the Ancient Aliens show, or me and my books or whatever, I mean, we are trying to offer some kind of explanation. It's not the mainstream one. But the mainstream, in many cases, I mean, they don't have any explanation at all. In the case of Tiwanaku and Pumapunku, their explanation is that it's some cult center, some Indians.
Yeah, but why would they carve those H blocks, which we would have a hard time doing today? It just makes no sense to me. I mean, how do they explain
again,
that?
Why are they doing that? I mean, just moving and putting some big stone in place is difficult enough, but like those H blocks and things, I mean, they're not just, you know, bashing stones together and stacking them up. They're cutting and carving them in very articulate and intricate ways so that they're going to fit together And what's bizarre is that the mainstream archaeologists are saying, well, they don't have these tools. They're, even though they're making these amazing H blocks, well, cut and articulated, they're doing it with primitive materials. They've got a stone hammer in their hand to do this. They have some little stone chisel or perhaps bronze chisel or something like that, that they're doing all this. And it would have to be slow, tedious work to do all that. And again, what for? I mean, why are they even going through all this effort? You don't see why they would have to do that. So the mainstream archaeologists, I mean, they're, in my mind, they're just completely missing the point. They see these things as, oh, well, you know, they just wanted this thing. They wanted to attract people. They made a pyramid so that, people could come there and give them gifts and the priests could have their flock and all this kind of stuff. But, and they do a similar thing in Chavin, which is another site in more in central Peru. But it's all just a fancy cult center for some, religious ceremonies or something like that. But when you're at Tiwanaku and Pumapunku, one of the things that you see, you have the keystone cuts, you have these metal clamps. They know there were metals there. And in fact, metals were part of the buildings. And, the keystone cuts were these double T-shaped cuts, and in some cases, sometimes they're like an hourglass. And then molten metals are poured in there. And those metals are, you'll see them in the museum and stuff. And that is a technique that's used around the world, and it's an unusual building technique too. But it involves pouring molten metals into what are already positioned megalithic blocks.
Let's go into some more of these details in our next segment. Maybe they had an ancient version of the Steelworkers Union. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
Are you hungry for delicious, nutritious, rich, and satisfying home-cooked meals? Discover the Vita Clay 4-in-1 Smart Organic Cooker. Unglazed Zeesha Clay, an ancient secret that makes this fast multi-cooker so special. Infusing your food with incredible flavors, perfect texture, vitamins, and minerals for your good health. It's a slow cooker, rice cooker, a steamer, plus a yogurt maker. Go to VitaClayChef.com and enter promo code RADIO20 for 20% off at checkout. That's VitaClayChef.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy. And get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.